Okay, so we saw that there are a number of Gemaras that discuss whether Ma'arav is a Rishud or Chuvah. Obviously, we have Ar Machloket in Brachot, where the Ma'arav is a Rishud or Chuvah, which leads to the whole Rabbi Gamliel story. But you also had the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Yom. So the Gemara in Shabbos, just to remind you again, was that we say, if I released my belt, when I release my belt, do I have to get it back together to Davin? So I'm releasing my belt to eat. So we said that depends whether it's Rishut or Chuvah. If it's Rishut, releasing your belt, okay, just go eat. If it's Chuvah, we would tell you have to tighten it again and eat. Now the Gemara Akasha, the one said, how can you tell me that depends whether it's Rishut or Chuvah? Mincha is a Chuvah, and yet we say, what happens if you release your belt? You could still eat. So meaning even a Chuvah, you could push it off. So the one said, no, Mincha is more easily pushed off than Ma'arav. We're afraid in Ma'arav, because you might get drunk, you might rely on the fact of an extended time period. So we're still claiming, would Ma'arav be Chuvah, we would make you put your belt on. Since it's a Rishut, therefore, we let you eat the meal. Okay, then the Gemara at the end said, a double kasha. One, is it such a tircha to tie your belt? Two, why don't we just let you dive in without tying your belt? Ever remember that? Mm-hmm. What was the Gemara's answer? No, because of hikon lekrat elokech Yisrael. You need to prepare for davening. Now, Tosfot says that seems to only answer the second question. Why don't we just let you daven without tying your belt? Because of hikon. The Ritva wanted to argue, no, that also answers the first question. Remember the Ritva? Since it's because of hikon, you have to do like a nice tying. It's not stam, a quick knot. Therefore, on some level, we can call it a tercha. So that answers both questions. Is it a tercha? And why didn't you just daven like that? No, you can't daven like it because of hikon. Since it's because of hikon, it's a tercha. Yeah.
Wait, so instead of taking 5 seconds to tie your belt, it will take you 3 seconds to tie your belt.
I admit, we're still having a very flexible definition of tercha. I admit it. A very flexible definition of tercha, which we'll come back to that point in a second. Okay, now, the Pnei Yeshua says it like the Ritva, but I think it gives it even deeper. I mean, let's go to the Pnei Yeshua. Okay, Dan, you want to take it first? I know it's not Rambam, but...
I will do my best. But first of all, we do a machil tirchota, mesa hamena, etc. Velo chayesh le shenuyei kusha.
Okay, so we saw this in Tosfos. How does Tosfos understand the Gemara? Lo chayesh le shenuyei kusha kamaita.
I don't know the first.
According to Tosfos, no, it's true. The Gemara said, the first question we can ignore. We're only interested in answering the second question. That's the way Tosfos took the Gemara. Okay.
I can't sure.
That's interesting. It sounds like Pnei Yeshua didn't have access to Ritva because he says, without Tosfos, I would have said, actually, Shapir mitartza nami kushi kamaita. What's actually happened in the Gemara? Shapir kamitartza? We have answered. We've answered it quite well. No, that Gemara's answer answers both questions, like the Ritva. But let's see how the Pnei Yeshua says it.
Kushi kamaita. The davka lamayev, the lo asik adate.
Tihikon. I mean, what's happening in the first stage of the Gemara? Lo asika date tama tihikon. In stage one of the Gemara, till the last answer. What does that mean, lo asika date tama tihikon? We're not aware of the hikon factor, right? That's only the answer at the end. What's happening before we're aware of the hikon factor? Go ahead. Ah, yafeh. So if we don't know of hikon yet, why do you have to tie the belt? If we don't know of hikon yet, hafsaka, meaning there shouldn't be an idea of libo roeh et erva. That's why you need to tie the belt. Vimkein.
Well,
apparently, because once that's true, any old belt tying will suffice. Ah, what happens when you bring in hikon? Mashin. You got that? That's nice. You say, no, it's not only that we bring in hikon, we shift our understanding of what the chagura is doing. If the chagura is just so it's not libo roa to erva, so then any old tying will do, that wouldn't have been a tercha. But it's because of hikon, this idea of really preparing, looking nice for davening, that is a more fancy kind of belt tying. I know what it is exactly. But it's something that requires more effort, and therefore, that's also an answer to the first question. So in a sense, it's like the Ritva, but the Ritva didn't have this shift in what the belt tying is doing. I think the Pnei Yeshua added another element. Right, the Ritva says, it again, just to sum up what we have here, Tosfot says we're ignoring the first question. We're answering the second question, that's good enough for us. The Ritva says, no, we're answering both. Since it's Hikon, it's a Tercha. Pnei Yeshua says, I'll tell you why, because there's a shift. If it's just Libor to Erva, that's easy tie. If it's because of Hikon, that's a more complicated tying. That's a Tercha. That explains why we view it as an issue when we can push off davening. Okay, everyone good with that? We're good? Okay. Two more minor points here. This, now again, we still have Yehuda's good question, which is, it still doesn't seem like much of a tercha. But maybe it works out better here if we're saying we're not really canceling davening, we're only delaying davening. Maybe that makes it a little bit better. You don't need that high level of tercha to create an ability to delay. So that's really manifest in the first piece in the Ritva. Let's see the first piece in the Ritva. Kiven de Sharle Hamani. Daniel?
Kiven de Sharle Hamani. Lo metalachinan le. Perush Rabbeinu Yonah. Yifan Rukhan. Va'afal gav. Denoman dema reshut. Lav dafka reshut kamor. Ela roma delo habet alam.
All right, now we've got a problem. Here the Ritva is following the Tosfos Shita. That even the day that said Rishus really meant, what did Rishus really mean?
It's
you really have to do it, but if something else comes up, meaning it's easily pushed off by other things. But Rishus really means you're supposed to do it. There is a chiyuv. There's a mitzvah. Okay. Now notice what he just did. This fits in the pattern we've been saying the whole sugya, guys. If you want to focus on Rishus, you quote the carbon theme. If you want to focus on Chover mitzvah, you focus on the other theme. You understand? No, it's a mitzvah. He says because Yaakovino is mitaking it. Okay. Mikom makom.
Mikom makom. Kevan the love chovah he gamay. Don't mitakin alay. Kevan the sheyish
shahut. Ah, there it is. So Yehuda, I think that fits better with your question. What does the Ritva want to say? Okay, it's not really a total free for all, right? But since it's not the highest level chovah, we could delay. But why? Because you really got more ten time. We're not really canceling bar. We're just telling you, since you released your belt, you can finish the meal. So according to the river, I think it works out a little bit better. So again, so what do we have again? The Gemara says, if it's chova, we would make you stop your meal right now. It's concrete chova. If it's rishus, we'll let you eat the meal. What about the fact that rishus doesn't mean really rishus according to the Ritva and Tosfos? Says the Ritva, no, it's okay, right? Since there's a bit of a tercha, you could daven later. If it's rishus, we'll still let you finish the meal and not tighten your belt immediately. Okay, we're good with the Gemara and Shabbos. Yes. Okay, let us turn the page now. Go to the Gemara and Yuma. Okay, now things are getting a bit more complicated. All right, Dan, we'll stick with you. You're doing a great job. Let us find out. We'll do good. Get smicha and hilchos and ila right now. Do all the halachas we need to know about ila. Tan rabanan. Tan hatam.
Tan hatam l'shul pokim b'shna kohanim nosin kafeihem arba pamim b'yom k'shachavib b'musaf mincha v'ni'ila charit.
Okay, so there are three times a year, three kinds of days in which there's four times that berakat kohanim. What are those three kinds? Good, but obviously taniot here are not our taniot. These are taniot, public taniot for rain. In the time of the Gemara, in a public taniot for rain, there'd be a ne'ila. Okay, we're not talking about Tisha B'Av here, or Shavuos B'Tamuz. Okay, there'd be ne'ila on a public taniot for rain in Eretz Israel. Okay, so there'd be a ne'ila on all three of these days, and it would include, it's interesting because we associate ne'ila as Dafka Yom Kippur. Apparently ne'ila has broader implications. In all 3 days, you'd have ne'ila and four Berachas Kohanim. Fine.
Okay, my ne'ilot charim.
Now, what is this ne'ilah?
Rav Amar, slutei yateru.
Oh, what is it?
An extra prayer.
An extra amida. That on Yom Kippur we have, or on Netanis, there's an extra amida.
V'shmul Amar, ma anu ma ha'chayin.
But apparently, and not amida. It's important to realize, I always say, like, the fact that we know halachic practice sometimes gets in the way of Gemara learning. You read this Gemara, the first thing you say, of course ne'ilah is an amida. Yeah, that's because we've been doing it. That's because we pass them like Rav. But that wasn't so obvious at the time of the Gemara. That's what they're debating. What is ne'ilah? Is it an extra amida? Is it a separate tefillah? Ma'anu ma'cheinu. Let's see who's going to win. Meitvei.
Meitvei.
Oh, this is a good phrase, then, actually. What does this phrase mean? Or Yom Kippurim?
The night.
It actually means the night of. Very good. Like the beginning of Pesachim.
Right.
Right. You have in the first Mishnah Pesachim starts with Or Lar Basar. Or means the night of.
Is there a reason? It seems to be the opposite of what you might think.
The Gemara Pesachim discusses why, but I can't recall what the answer is right now. Okay, look up Pesachim Berem Ralph. Okay, Or Yom Kippurim. Tzidav and Regla Amidah, and you say Vidoy. Fine. B'Shachris.
B'Shachris Mitpalau Sheva Mitpadah. B'Musaf Mitpalau Sheva Mitpadah. B'Mincha Mitpalau Sheva Mitpadah.
Okay, now who's in trouble now?
Shmuel's
in big trouble. What did the Brita say, black on white? You say a full Amida for an Ila. Okay.
Right. Tanaihi.
Yeah, this is an unusual Tanaihi, by the way, because what would be the simplest reading of Tanaihi?
It's
we're defending Shmuel by saying, okay, you've got a braita against Shmuel, but he's got other Tanaim on the side. If you continue reading, that's not what we're doing here.
Why is it brought in the first place? Like, it seems at this point, this is enough to.
That is a good question. That's a good question.
No, I was a bit confused when it said Meitvei didn't say it would bring a braita.
Right. No, but Meitvei by definition, Meitvei means by definition, though. The idea of Meitvei is that it's a stronger source, which the mower is not able to withstand. So I think even if it doesn't say a word like Tanya, by definition we're talking about Tanya Dixorcy. Yud, you have a good question. Okay, Yud is a good question. I don't know the answer. I mean, we seem to, it's like overkill. We need to, because let's just read this bright to see what we're all talking about. The Tanya, what do we have in the second bright, huh? Good. Dira Meir. Now notice, the machloket has to do with whether you have to be choteim the vidui, but everybody in the second bright agrees that nila involves amida. Everyone see that? So Tanai can't mean in this Gemara, oh, Shmuel's okay because it's a machlokas tanaim. It's not what it means. It just means there's a machlokas tanaim that is relevant to this. That's all tanaim means. But again, what's the conclusion? Tiyuvta de Shmuel. We now have, as you just pointed out very well, more than one braita that is a knockout of Shmuel. I mean, and indeed, how do I answer one second? Tiyuvta de Shmuel. Tiyuvta. By the way, when it says that, there's no way out. You've lost. This is important to realize, guys. There's three levels in the Gemara. We saw in Redi and Brachos the fourth parak. If it says kasha, it does not. No means proves that you're losing position. And we even saw the Rashba when I had to answer the question. Remember that, guys? The Rashba answered the Kasha. When it says Tiyufta, that's stronger than Kasha. The strongest thing possible, if it says Tiyufta de Shmuel, Tiyufta. When it says that, it means it's over. So why do we dive in the Ne'ilah as an Amidah? Because Rav wins the day. They're explicit brightos in favor of Rav against Shmuel. Why we needed more than one, I don't know the answer to that question. Okay, anyone with a comment or question? We'll go to that. Yeah.
It could be that the reason we bring the second one is because we're saying a Das Yachid versus the Chachamim, but both positions, like, we're saying, Shmuel, you can't even hold what you do. There's no...
Okay.
You can't even argue that, like, I have a different Masorah. Like, you can't...
No, but you know that already from the first Meitiv, from the first Vaita. That doesn't add anything. The Kasha still stands. If you stop before the Tanahi, you would still have the Kasha. Well, either one of them, if you just point the Tanahi, also either one of them would by themselves be a kash be enough.
But maybe not for Tiyufta.
Why not? Of course.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I think Yunus' question is a good question, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're good? Okay. Mm-hmm. But let's leave that aside. So Rav wins the day and we dive in a whole Amidah. But that, there's still some other questions to ask about Ne'ilah. Daniel? Ula?
Ula ba'arav nechit kamei de'rava.
What's nechit?
I went down.
You went down, but it's a way back. He leads the tefillah. Good. Notice what he did. He basically does Ra, but incorporates, right? If he begins without Tabar Chartanu, he is saying a full Amidah, but he's incorporating Shmuel's tefillah of Machayenu. Okay. V'shavche. So what did Rava do?
V'shavche, yeah, just in Hebrew.
Yeah, Rava praised him.
Right.
Shavche, like Shavacho To.
Right.
That's the way to do it. Oh, that's a good Ne'ilah. You did it. You did a full Amidah, but you also incorporated Ma'anu Ma'cheinu. That's the way to do it. Shavchei praised him. Okay, next. Okay, this is important. I have a new Shitas Rav. We pass in like Rav that Nila is an Amidah, but now we also have a Shitas Rav that Nila renders the need for Mariv. By the way, I should have said something before. Yachid Omer Achar Tefillah. Notice, this is the Vidui. Remember, we in Yom Kippur, we don't see the Vidui the same place in the private Amidah as we say it in the... You guys have noticed that in the repetition of the Amidah? So I didn't realize that this one is just the source, right? What did it just say? Ma'anu Machenu, which is part of the Vidui, Yachid Omer Achar Tefillah, right? The Yachid says it later, right? Basically, after you've already done with the Amidah. Right? If memory serves me correctly, we say it even after I'm Brechtam Yisrael Bashalom. Is that correct? In the private Amidah? Am I remembering correctly?
So.
Right? In Yom Kippur, right? We say the video after, right? So that, I think that's this line. Yachad Omra Achar Tefillato. Okay, but be that as it may, Rav also holds that Ne'ilah patters you from Arav. Rav Tamei Damitzlut Yateru. V'kim Detzalei Sulot Tzarech. Okay, now we have a problem. Mi amar Rav Achi? Give me one second. Let's just finish the Gemara.
Mi amar Rav Achi? The amar Rav. The ha amar Rav. Doesn't want to say. Lachar the debray ha omer.
Ah, and what's the implications? If Marv is Eli Rishut, you can't say the words Ni'ila Poter. There's nothing to be Poter from. What's the answer? Have we got it? Rav wasn't talking for himself. As far as he really is concerned, there's nothing to Poter you because Marv is a Rishus. But he was saying, if you tell me it's Chova, I hold Marv can, Ni'ila can Poter you. Ever got it? She does Rav? Now, one of the things that emerges from Rav, you got a few things that emerge. One is that Ni'ilah is an Amidah, that we knew already. Another thing that seems to emerge is that Ni'ilah takes place in the nighttime. Right? Because if it doesn't take place in the nighttime,
how could it
Pater Marv? Okay, a third thing that emerges is he personally holds it's a Rishos, but he's talking for those who think that it's a Chova.
Okay, Yehuda. So, at the beginning of the Gemara, between Shmuel and Rav Shmuel, so Rav holds that you say Shmuel necessarily. And
Shmuel is just Manu.
So that means for Rav, he just holds you would just say no bakashot or no. What is meaning?
No, wait.
What's the bakhlo meaning?
What's the text of Rav's Amida?
Because it seems from the end that Rav, someone is doing.
When Rav Huna incorporated them.
It's
right.
A bit of both. So that means that Rav wasn't doing that stuff? Meaning, what's Rav doing?
That is an excellent question, but I'm going to duck it for now. Okay? Yeah. Lady.
Even I think at the end of the Gemara, even if you said Rav holds a clear other than Rishus, you can still say Poter Ni'ila because it's a time of Bechina, like with the Tosfos and Yud.
Very good, excellent. So, Lady has an excellent question. In theory, this is a strong question against Tosfos, right, Lady? Because again, what does Tosfos say? Let's say you say Chova versus Rishus means Mamash Chova versus Mamash Rishus. Then the Gemara makes a lot of sense. If it's Mamash Chova, you need to talk about Ni'ila pattering it. If it's Mamash Rishus. Like, let's say Daniel has a practice to meditate for 30 seconds a day. So you wouldn't say, Daniel, since you said meditate, you're putter from your meditation. But I wasn't chayv to meditate to Megillah. So it sounds like it's mamash rishus. But what does Tosfos would say? Even rishus really means it's chova until I have a good reason. So then, arguably, this Gemara is against Tosfos. So let us salvage it for Tosfos. So let's go to the rush. Open your brachos, please. I wasn't going to do this, but since Levi raised the question, let's see in the rush. Open your brachos, please. Very good. You see, the rush was bothered by your question. Okay, we're in the rush. Perek Dalet is Siman Bet. Don't worry, I can do the whole thing.
It just means it's good.
Yeah. Okay, so skip down to the line begins with Sha'a. It's about 9 lines into the piece. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's about 14 lines down in the whole column. Sha'a Vim Tomar, there's a little circle on the Vim Tomar. Have we got it?
Am I in the right place?
You know, you're in the Yaakov Mefarshim would be in the rush. The major Mefarshim do not just get shoehorned into the Yaakov, they get their own page. Look at the rush, Perek Dalet Bet. Okay, see, page Yud Zayin.
What's the word again?
So I'm starting with the line that begins with Sha'a. You should be very happy. You asked the rush's kasha.
What's because it's not a different.
It's
type.
You guys have a different.
Yeah. 8 lines down on the second page.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Nate.
What am I reading?
I'm going to read. Okay, Vim Tomar.
Right in the middle.
Ready? You guys have it now? Yes, you have to give the same as mine, right? You're right here. See Vim Tomar right after the word Sha'a. Find the word Sha'a.
Yeah,
it's kind of okay. Here, Levi, it's your question. The Rosh has just got through advancing Shitas Tosfos that Rishus didn't really mean Rishus. Rishus means Chov unless you've got another pressing concern. Vim Toma, I've got a Kasha. Ha Darminim Bishil Hey Yoma. What about what it says at the end of Maseches Yoma? Amarav Tfilas Ni'ila Poterichel Arvis. Rav Letame Damrit Sluta Yeterihi. Bekim Tetzali Tulo Tzarch. Upar Chmar asks, wait. Rav, how could you tell me Ni'ila Pater's Mariv? V'hama Rav Tulet Arvid Rishut Klomar. What does the Gemara mean? The Lama Tzarech Lepotra. What's the Gemara assuming in the question? If you say it's Rishus, you don't need a need to Pater it. But here's Levi's question. Umay Kushya, according to Tosfos, that was a bad question. V'alo Ein Levat LeBechinim Lo Fnei HaTzorech. Levi, right there. That's your question, right? That Gemara seems to be explicitly against against Tazros. Rishus is mamish rishus, because we're saying if you use the word rishus, you can't say Ne'ilah Pater's it. V'yesh lomar, says Tazros, says the Rosh, nothing doing. Dehasam nami lo bechinam hi. There too, it wouldn't be for naught. Shahari mitzvah lahachin l'sud b'motzi yom kippur. Shukein, another wild rush, right? Shukein yom tov. Isn't that interesting? It turns out, is that interesting? What a day! Your chavrut to ask the Russian's kasha, and you give the Russian's answer. It's a great day for you and Yossi today. So it is a surprising rush. I have to admit, I would have thought that eating on Motzi Yom Kippur is a good thing to do because you're starving, but not that it takes on religious value. Right? It's actually quite fascinating because the religious value of eating is usually on, of course, is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But then, no, let's just read one more line. I'll say something about the Rosh, and I'll get your question once again, Yehuda. Now, where does he get this from? Darmina b'medrash baskol yotzev omeret leich echol b'simchulach mecha. Interesting, right? Somehow, it's like almost like a sense of like it shows like you should feel good about it. Like it's interesting, like you shouldn't. It's almost like if you Motzi Yom Kippur, you're still in trepidation if you can't enjoy your meal. Like that's not supposed to be the feeling. You're supposed to feel like you had a good Yom Kippur. Right now, I could eat. Give me 1 second. He throws in one more thing. V'gam hu ayef min hatfila min hatanis, and also you're tired. It's a long day. V'ein lahatricho. So now, what does the Rosh want to say? What the Rosh want to say as follows. We're still going to maintain Shita Satosvus, that Rishos in the context of Maariv never fully meant Rishos. It means you're chai unless you've got a good reason. What's the one thing? On Motzi Yom Kippur, you've got a good reason. Either because you're busy preparing the Suda, again, giving the Suda a certain religious value, or because you're exhausted from the Tefillah. Even if you hold Tosvus version of Rishos, says the Rosh, that would be enough to make you exempt. And therefore what? Therefore the Gemara still asks is Kasha. What was the Gemara's Kasha? If you hold Rishos, you don't need Ne'ilah to pater. You haven't seen the Rosh to say? It's true, you don't need Ne'ilah to pater you. Not because it's Mamash Rishos. It was never Mamash Rishos. But you don't need Ne'ilah to pater you because you have other factors that already make you pater. Those other factors might be Hachanat Suda. Those other factors might be the fact you're exhausted from the field. Let me just say one more thing, Yudah. I'm throwing just for general Talmud knowledge. You aspiring Talmud Yudah should know this. Okay, why is there mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? It's a very interesting machlokas. What's the most baal bat pshat? Why is there mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur?
Because we're going
to
be hungry.
Because you need to prepare for the fast, right? You need to eat before it. There's an absolutely beautiful piece in Shari Tshuva by Rabbeinu Yonah. You know what Rabbeinu Yonah says? Shari Tshuva?
It's Yom Tov, no?
Oh, very good. How do you know that? You're a knowledgeable fellow. Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. You're supposed to celebrate Yom Tov. How do we celebrate Yom Tov? With meals. Now we've got a built-in tension. We want to celebrate Yom Kippur with a festive meal, but we can't because Yom Kippur, of course, is its own. So we push the festive meal towards the day before Yom Kippur. By the way, there could be nafkaminas between those two things I just said. One nafkamina might be, what if you're someone who for medical reasons can't fast? So if you said the whole point of the mitzvah to eat was to prepare, so maybe for you the mitzvah falls away. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, like Mamashe and Kesher, like what does one have to do with the other? It's Yom Kippur is supposed to be festive, and you're supposed to realize that festivity by eating a meal on Erev Yom Kippur. But all that is the mitzvah. This mitzvah derives from it. All that is the mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. I didn't know until I saw this Rosh that there's some religious value to the meal Motzi Yom Kippur. That is a fascinating idea.
The Kohen Gadol made a
Suda. Oh, very good, Nate. You can put this in your Sefer and Brachos. That's a good Kiddush. That this is maybe that we built on that. Like we all somehow model ourselves after. But that's a nice source. The idea somehow, I think it fits in with what I said before. This would be some sense of simcha and relief on the Motzi Yom Kippur. I mean, again, it seems to be religiously, if you're still in trepidation 2 hours after the fast, it's not what we want.
Right.
So you feel like you did it well. Like Baruch Hashem, you did it well, and now you can enjoy your Motzi Yom Kippur meal. Okay, who had a question for you?
There's some Rav who had, like, people asking how he prepared for blowing the shofar, and he said he used to go cut the cake for breaking the Suda.
I don't know. Where's that story from?
Can't remember.
Okay. The only problem with that. When did he cut the cake? Right after Yom Kippur ended?
I can't remember.
You also have to, like, even according to my theme, like, it wouldn't work out. Like, I wouldn't want someone to do that on Yom Kippur afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, just like I would claim that I don't need to be in trepidation an hour after Yom Kippur's over, I also don't need to be thinking about the cake at 2 o'clock in Yom Kippur afternoon, right?
I don't know.
Maybe it means I'm Motzi Yom Kippur.
Could be Motzi Yom Kippur.
No, that may not fit nicely. Don't we blow the shofar after Yom Kippur's basically over, yeah. Right? You can't blow the shofar on Yom Kippur proper. Okay, Lloyd, did you want to say something? Yehuda, go ahead.
Wait, but after, so the Suda is right after right after Yom Kippur. So then, just after Suda, do Maariv.
Okay, why do we view that as?
Right,
yeah.
His whole point was
that's an interesting question.
His whole point is you're patur when you have something else to take precedence.
Yeah, okay. Look,
so
I,
yeah.
Maybe the ayif minat tefillah works a little bit better there. Maybe the ayif minat tefillah works a little bit better, right? That you know, it's a sense like you're in shul day. It's hard to daven again. Okay, I think most of us find it hard to daven maariv and matzi yom kippur. Ayif minat tefillah would deal with your point a little bit better, no?
Yeah.
Okay, there we got it. Ladies, you guys be happy. You asked the kasha, and Yossi said the Rosh's answer. Okay, we're good? Okay, let's go back now to the Gemara Yuma. Sorry about that. Okay, let's go back to Gemara Yuma. Okay, so what do we know so far based on the Gemara? We've worked out the Chovah Rishos, and we're Rav, again, we pass like Rav clearly that the Ne'ilah is an Amida. We also have Shitas Rav, that Ne'ilah takes care of your need for Maariv. Okay, let's deal with the one interesting Me'iri, and then we'll go to the Yishali and get really into the Ne'ilah issue. Okay, let's skip to the Me'iri. Actually, Levi, you might take the Me'iri for us? So notice the Me'iri seems to say that what's the simple pshat in the Bavli? We talk a paskin like Rav, that Ne'ilah really can pot you from Marv. Okay. It's important to me. What do you want to say? You might ask me. Now notice, the Miri thought of this question, but the Yerushalmi says it explicitly. How can Ne'ilah pati from Marv, after all? Ne'ilah is only 7 brachot, and Marv, of course, is 18. What's his basic answer? It's a very interesting answer. Kind of changes the perspective here. Yes, what do you basically say? On some level, an Amidah is an Amidah. Isn't it interesting? I thought it was a new, different perspective. It seems to me like Tosas and Brachos didn't have that perspective. So it says, okay, on some level, an Amidah is an Amidah. If you did an Amidah, it counts. It's not exactly, okay, an Amidah is an Amidah. They're just different versions of the Amidah. Now look what he says for his example of this. V'kvar matzinu kayotziba. Full stop. Now this is very interesting. Look at his analogy. What does he want to say? It's a great analogy. What do we say in brachos? If I forgot mincha on Friday, what do I do? Wait, you can ask the same kasha, right? Why didn't you tell me? How could a 7 bracha Shabbos Amidah? So what must be the answer? On some level, an Amidah is an Amidah. So it says to me, once that's true, you could plug that in here also. Alright, I did an Amidah. I did an Amidah during Maariv time. We allow that to take care of my Maariv obligation.
Oh, especially once we said that the full Shmona Esrei is not could be set on Shabbos.
Yeah, yeah, fair. But that, okay, interesting to say, Nate. But I wanted to say the Meir saying it even stronger without that. That's right. Exactly my point. Very good, Nate. Nate remembers that Tosaf tried to deal with this, but Tosaf dealt with it a bit differently. Tosaf dealt with it by saying, maybe it goes together, that this isn't really a contradiction between the Shabbos, Amidah, and the Chol. Really, the 18 brachot belong in Shabbos. It's just that Tircha, we release it. That's why, let's say, when a Motzi Shabbos, I daven 18 brachot, it could count for my missed mincha of Shabbos. So Nate's right, that fits in. I want to argue the Miri saying it even without that. That somehow, on some level, the Amidah is an Amidah, right? Even if it isn't exactly the right Amidah, we don't care. Right? We want you to do a certain amount of Amidahs.
Yeah. Why is that a chiddush? I
don't
see what is.
No, is it obvious to you that you could have easily argued? I mean, I realize it's not true, luckily, but couldn't you easily argue you miss Mincha and Erev Shabbos? It's all over. What are you going to do? Daven Shabbos Tefillah twice? How does that help? I admit this explicit Gemara. No, but logically, there's a point to be made here.
After the Gemara, that falls away, though. No, like unless.
Look, unless you say, okay, it's a good point. You know, maybe the Miri is still making a bit of an extension because here. That's in a Tashlumin scenario when I'm no longer in the period when I could have possibly do a Chol Amidah. Okay. But here, Ne'ilah, I could daven Maariv, and yet you're still letting your Ne'ilah potter the Maariv, right? There is a little bit of an extension, right? He's saying it's basically the same idea. Your Ne'ilah counts, it's an Amidah. At the end of the day, it's an Amidah. The Amidah counts. Okay, we're good so far? Okay, now we can go to this confusing Yerushalmi. I'll take it if you guys don't mind. This is very Yerushalmi. I'm sorry I give you a hard Yerushalmi. I just thought it was an important Yerushalmi. Okay, here we go, guys. We're going to find out when we should daven Ne'ilah. Eimatai hi Ne'ilah, when is it? Rabbanan de Kesar and Amrin. So the Rabbanan of Kesaria say, it balgon Rav Yochanan. Here, next time you lead a tour to Kesaria, Yossi, you'll quote this Gemara. say they sat in Kasari, debated when to daven Ilo. You could do it as the sun is setting over the beach. It'll just be great. Give all halacha and history shir. Okay. Rav Yochanan. Rav Amar ben Ilat Shari Shemaim. It's when the gates of heaven close. Rav Yochanan ben Ilat Shari Echal. Now the Gemara is not clear about it yet, but it's going to become clear in a second that Ilat Shari Echal is when it's still daytime. But when do they close up the Mikdash? Don't forget, they didn't do Avodah at night. So they basically close the gates of the Heichal towards the end of the day. When is Nila Chari Shemai? I'm going to see, the Gemara's going to argue that's later. That's a sense of where the sun is put away totally. It's totally dark. That's a later period. You'll see how I know that in a second. Amar Yudin Atindaria, that's part of his name. Matinita, we've got a Mishnah, Misael Rav Yochanan. Proves Rav Yochanan right? It's in the daytime. How do you know? Bishlosha Prakim Akon Nosei Kapim Arba Pambayom. Notice it's the mission we saw before, right? B'shachas b'osu mincha v'nila charim b'tani mo'adot u'v'yom ha'kipurim. Wait, now here, what's the proof? Itlacha l'meimah nila chari shemayim b'yom. That's a question, it's rhetorical. Could you talk about nila chari shemayim in the daytime? I.e., the phrase nila chari shemayim means it happens after the yom is over. That if so, this is a support for Rav Yochanan, that it's nila chari heichal, which is happening when it's still day. You guys with me on this? Yes? Okay, now here's an important split. Weird in the bright that you see that it's happening in the daytime. So Yehuda says the simple pshat. What does it say? Arba pamim. Bayom. Obviously, Ne'ilah is happening the day. It says Bayom. Now, the other pshat, which I told you, I finally discovered, is in the Rush. I don't know how the Rush proves it. The Rush proves it from a different source. Did you guys catch it? No, but you're in the later part. We didn't get there yet. Just from this source, right? What does this source say? Arba pamim b'shana, arba prakim, shlosha prakim b'shlosha prakim, akon nosin kapim arba pim b'yom. How did that prove that Nila is in the daytime? So Yehuda has the simplest shot. Well, it says the word b'yom. There might be something else going on. Can you guys just keep a hand here and go to today's Rush? I'll just show you one nice thing in the Rush. I think you guys will enjoy this very much. So I'm just going to pick out one line of the Rush. So if you skip down to about 9 lines to the bottom of the Rush, which says V'yom HaKippurim, the line begins. Yeah, you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
So he just quoted the same Braita, the same Mishnah. V'let lecha lemeimar ni'ilat shari shemayim. You can't tell me ni'ilat means ni'ilat shari shemayim, i.e. after day. Why? D'ha'it kish nesirat kapayim l'sheirut. Now things get interesting. What does he want to claim?
You can't do it.
Why not? How does he know? What's that? That is a key line. Itkish nesiat kapayim l'sheirut.
There's no service.
Very good. This is a very interesting question. Kohanim do birchas kohanim, but does it have the halachic status of an avoda? Right. You could have thought, no, avoda is one thing, and birchas kohanim something else. And then the same halachic rules is a crucial question, right? Do the rules of avoda apply to birchas kohanim? So what does he claim? No. Itkush nesiat kapayim l'sheirut. There is a hekesh in the halacha between Birka Kohanim and Sheirut, as Nate says, Ayavoda, right? The Kohanim are Mesharet in the Migdash. What does that mean? Now, where's the hekesh? Dichtev l'sharto ulevarech b'shmo. Ayafeh. Arayom. What does the pasuk say? What does it juxtapose? It must be describing, I don't know where the pasuk is, but it must be describing the job of Kohanim. What does it say? What do the Kohanim do? L'sharto u Levarich Mishmo, i.e., Avoda compared to Nesiyah Kabayim, right? Lesherto Levarich Mishmo. What is that merges? Ma Sheirut Beyom, Af Nesiyah Kabayim Beyom. So now, according to Rush, it's not, you're right, Yehuda, but it could be deeper. It's not just the language proof that it said, the Yerushalmi said the word, the Mishnah says the word, it's Beyom. The mere fact that you're doing Birka Kohanim and Nila means that Nila is taking place in the daytime, because Birkum is this kind of Sheirut, it's kind of Avodah, which we would not allow to take place during the night. So let's go back to Yerushalayim and see, though. We want to prove we have a Machlokas now. When does Ni'ilah take place? Rav says it's Ni'ilat Shari Shemayim. It seems to take place Balayla. Right? Rav Yochanan says it's Ni'ilat Shari Hechal. It seems to take place Bayom. We think there's a clear mission against Rav for Rav Yochanan. Because A, because it says the word Bayom, but B, because it's allowing you to do in the Siyat Kapayim. And Ne'ilah, says the Rush, you can only do that in the daytime. By the way, that's why in Israel you always see us rushing in Ne'ilah. What are we rushing to do? We want to say Birka Kohanim while it's still before Shkia. Right? It's exactly this. It's based on this idea. Right now, with Birchas Kohanim, that must be happening prior to Shkia. It's a Sheirut. It's an Avodah. It has to be Bayom. Okay, we're all good so far? Okay, just one other thing. Obviously, this Rav, Shita's here, could fit with the other Rav we saw. What does Rav say here? When does Ne'ilah take place? According to Rav, even though we're in the middle of attacking him, but when does Ne'ilah take place? Ne'ilat Share. Which one is Rav again, guys? Shemaim, I. Night. That fits in with what did Rav say in Yuma? Ne'ilah Potters. Ever see that connection? Right, obviously, it's Rav Shitaso. Right, Rav has Ne'ilah happening later. Rav is the one who thought Ne'ilah could Potter. Could Potter Marv. Yes, we're all good so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to Yushama. Okay, this is the hardest part of the Yushama. This was very difficult to get. It took me a while to get it myself. Achve de imid Rav Ada, the brother of Rav Ada's mother, have a tsair gulte. These are all hard words, but tsur in Aramaic sense means to wrap. So he was like wrapping, he was holding. Okay, I initially thought I meant to make a picture but from tsur, but I was wrong. And gulte is a cloak. But I think it's from the word galal. And what does galal really mean? Like glila. You would throw to enclose, right? That's what you do with a cloak, right? So that's right. It's gulte. It's the thing which you wrap yourself in. So have a tsair gulte de Rav Betzoma Rabbas. He was the holder. He held Rav's cloak for Tzoma Rav, of course. Yom Kippur. It's an interesting idea. Rav should like put on a special talis for Ne'ilah. Amarle, so Rav said to him, Katichami Shim Shebere Shtikli. When you see the Shemesh like hitting that area, like Tchum, of the top of the palm trees, then Tiavli guilty, Gulti, give me my cloak. The Natsli Ne'ilat Sharm. It's time to daven. Time to daven Ne'ilah. Right, then I'm ready to go. By the way, it sounds like the real name of the tefillah is not Ne'ilah, but Ne'ilat Sharm. Like Ne'ilah is like a nickname. Then I'm ready for Ne'ilat Sharm. Now we've got a big problem now. Because Rav is the day that said before Ne'ilah takes place at Ne'ilat Sharei Shemaim, namely at night. But now Rav is saying, do it when it's still day. Right, so let's see where we go. Machla Veshite Sidrav. This seems to mix up. To exchange Rav Shita. Taman is just the Yusham way of saying Sham, like Hatam. Taman, who amar b'nilat shari shemaim, i.e., at night. V'ko amar b'nilat shari echal, and here he seems to be holding shari echal while the sun is still out. Amar Rav Matna, al yidei davi marech Rav b'tzlutei sagin, since Rav was very lengthy in his davening, right, sagin, like sufficiently lengthy, sagi, havi magil nilat shari shemaim, he would even arrive at Nilat Sharshman. We seem to be shifting Rav. Here we go. What was the first position you showed me? Rav says Nilat is mamish at night, and Rav Yochanan says it's the daytime. The new version of Rav is he agrees that Nilat starts in the daytime, but Rav thinks that it concludes in,
or it could conclude,
or it could conclude in the nighttime. But this could have implications. It could be now Shitas Rav Yochanan is not only does Ne'ilah start in the daytime, but actually finishes in the daytime. You see that? I mean, otherwise there might not be any debate between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Maybe Rav Yochanan says Ne'ilah is all wrapped up by Shkia. And Rav Yochanan says, no, it's not. It started before Shkia, but it continues afterward. Okay, let us now finish Yushalm and see what more we have time.
Rav Yochanan
is
like, you have to finish by the day.
Yeah, well, yeah, but basically, if, it, yeah, go ahead.
Like also, like, is it kind of saying what is Ne'ilah? It's like it has to be halakha different. Says it has to be the time when it closes.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, very good. Okay, so can I show you something great? Can I jump to the Chacham Shlomo? That's something amazing. Okay, let's just this is a beautiful verse. I'm so happy when I found this. Everyone, turn to the Chacham Shlomo. Okay, we'll get to I think Kikach Levi's point. Okay, there's an amazing case here. Chacham HaShlomo is Rav Shlomo Kluger, an important Achron. He wrote a lot of Tshuvas, but he's also on the side of Shulchan Aruch. What does he have in the Chacham HaShlomo? L'ni'ila Omer Ashrei. Nir b'enei, hinei ba ma'asli adi. An amazing story. Yehuda couldn't believe this actually happened, but here it is. Things, strange things happen in this world, Yehuda. Stranger things than this have happened. Ma'asli ba'li adi, be'echad shidbal sh'ni'ila b'mako mincha. An amazing thing. Can you believe that? What happened? A guy shows up Rav Kluger. I know it's 4:30 Yom Kippur afternoon. I've got some interesting news. I woke up from my nap and I daven Ne'ilah, but I have not yet daven Mincha. Right, now what do I do? Now it's interesting because from the perspective of Zmanim, if you just have a Zmanim perspective, you might say, what's the big deal? Meaning, you're supposed to daven Ne'ilah in the afternoon, you're supposed to daven Mincha in the afternoon, so you did Ne'ilah already, now just go. Everybody, just go daven Mincha. Let's see what the Rebbe Kluger says. I see Yossi, you don't like that. Why not, Yossi? You're going to be right.
Because Ne'ilah is like Ne'ilat Sharim.
That's exactly what Shlomo Kluger. I was very happy to see this. There's a difference. There's two questions in life, guys. What Zman a tefillah is supposed to be in? And what is the essence of, what's the tefillah's role? My analogy this was for Yehuda was like Musaf versus Mincha. there's a certain case where I could discuss what I should daven first, Musaf or Mincha. Why does that make sense? Because it's just a question of getting them both in the right Zman. I'm not doing anything wrong by, let's say I daven Mincha before Musaf. Arguably, okay, but I still did Mincha in its Zman, and I still did Musaf in its Zman. There's nothing inherent about those tefillot, which is messed up. Are we making this point? But here, Levi and Yossi are right. Ne'ilah, it's not just that it's supposed to be in a certain Zman. Its essence is that it is supposed to be the closure of Yom Kippur. It is supposed to be the crescendo of Yom Kippur. Even if I technically got it in the right Zman, it can't take place before Mincha. If it took place before Mincha, then it's not Ne'ilah. So let me just read a couple lines of Chachma Shalom. Here we go. Say, what's Rav Shlomo Kluge's psak for this fellow? What does he say? You didn't get anything in there. You did zero. Go daven mincha and ne'ilah. V'hu d'zeh domu l'mad d'kaimelin b'simen kofchet d'mispal shtai motzi Shabbos. The motzi Shabbos case. D'mispal tashlumen b'reisha. Let's see, did the tashlumen first. V'yaka chova shait and then the marav. Shemechuyav l'achzaru l'spal tashlumen. What do we tell you there? You have to go back and daven tashlumen. Afim hivdil b'shneem olov dil b'shneem. Kevin shekaven atav the tashlumen b'reisha lo mahani. Kein hachinami. Kiven shekivein l'ne'ila b'reisha v'ademincha v'nan b'inun lehefech. But we need the opposite. Tchilas mincha v'akach mahani. V'akach, I probably skipped the word. V'akach mincha v'akach ne'ila lo mahani. That's probably what it should say. Sorry, I must have cut out those words. But now he says something. This is the line I wanted. B'zeg gara mehatam. And you know what? At first he makes an analogy to the Motzi Shabbos case. Now what is he saying? Zeg gara mehatam. This case is worse. Why is it worse? I think this formulation is important. Dehacha adayin lochal alav chuva ne'ila klal. That was my favorite line here. Kol zman shalom bel mincha. What does he want to claim?
Till you've done mincha.
Exactly. There, at least you're chayim in both tefillos. Okay, I did the wrong order, but you can start to figure out. I was already chayim. What happens when I forget mincha on Shabbos? Motzi Shabbos shows up. I have two chiyuvim, right? One chiyuv is I want to daven Maariv. And I've got another chiyuv, namely, that I need to daven the tashlumin. Says Rosh Hashanah, that's not true. When 3:30 Yom Kippur afternoon, when I haven't daven mincha and I daven ne'ilah, what am I doing? Zero. Why? Even if in theory it's ma'an ne'ilah, it can't be because... exactly. Well, the whole idea of ne'ilah is I've done everything else. This is my last tefillah before the Yibon Shem, before Yom Kippur closes. That is a brilliant idea. That chiyuv is only activated when I finish. It's like to say, I think it's a sharp way to say luckily. Let's say for one reason I get up late for my Yom Kippur nap one year. I mean, I usually don't take a nap in Yom Kippur, but let's say I do once. I don't feel. I get up at 4:15. So say, oh, I'm chayv in ila. Says Rav Kumku, that's wrong. Halachically, daven mincha, then you'll be. Even though this man is right, it's late enough in the afternoon that I could daven ne'ilah. But what do we say? But that's not ne'ilah. Right, you haven't finished everything else up. It's not zman ila. It's a kilu. There's no chiyuv. It's like I daven when I daven ila before mincha. It's kilu. I daven something doesn't exist. Right, it's a meaningless act, and therefore I have to go back and daven mincha and ila. So I think this fits in very nicely with what Levi were trying to say before. According to Shlomo Kluger, ne'ilah is not just a zman. It's not just a zman ne'ilah. There's an essence of ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is supposed to be the closure. I still think Rav and Rav Yochanan could debate when does that closure occur, right? Maybe were you arguing it only works for one, for Rav or Rav Yochanan, this idea?
No, it's like what they're arguing on. It's like, why does Rav Yochanan, why would one care that you finish earlier?
Ah, okay. But maybe could this idea fit with Rav Yochanan? That like, as you're hitting Shkia, like this is the, you're hitting like, this is the closing of Yom Kippur. Right, that Yom Kippur closes with this. So you're closing with this one last desperate tefillah to... Maybe it fits for Rav Yochanan. No, what do you think? It fits better for Rav? I was arguing that for Rav Yochanan.
I was just saying like this argument is like, if according to Rav, he isn't like Rav Yochanan. Like, if you finish an Ila still during the day, he says that's not an Ila because the gates are still open.
Ah, okay.
I think because the gates are still open, like this gates are still open until the night. Like he should be davening as close to the actual time.
Okay, so let's hold off. We get to that. What exactly Machlokes Rav Yochanan is? We'll see as we. I might not get to it today, but hold off for 1 second. Okay. Let's see what I try to do too much here. Let's see. Okay, throw in the other big Kiddush now once we're and then come back to this later. Is that okay with you guys? See, I'm not going to be able to sneak the rest in. Let me close with one more great chiddush here. We'll get back to this then. I tell you what, tomorrow we're going to just continue with the Gemara and Brachos, but maybe on Thursday this year I'll just do this for the first 10-15 minutes. Is that okay with you guys? Let me just say one great thing, the Emek Bracha. Again, the Emek Bracha is the Talmud of the Grizz, Rav Arya Permanchik. I just thought these were two tremendous ideas about Nila. Okay. Let's see what we got here in the Emek Bracha. But I believe you raise Machavi to Chachmash Shalom, very good. The Nila is not just a Zman, it's as an essence of what it's a closure of Yom Kippur. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay, I like his formulation, right? If you haven't done Mincha yet, you're not Chai Nila. I don't care what time of day it is. Okay. Let's see the Emek Bracha. Now, this is a Gemara we learned. Amar Yudam or Shmuel. Remember this? We said if you're ready, you know you're ready daven. We tell you got to stop. For Kassavar, if we saw this idea, wait, I understand. Why do we make you stop? Didn't Rav Yochanan say, would it be that man could daven all day long? What did Rav Yochanan mean? Voluntary tefillas. Avakan shehischilas pala daita dechova. Im yigmor tavi kamakre based me demovishim bal toser. Remember we discussed this idea. This wasn't the only possible problem, but one suggestion was, hey, it's like you bring another carbon. That is bal toser. This is not obvious at all. This should be bal toser. But I don't want to chazer there. I don't chaz that right now. Behisik arayved. But the arayved has the following question. Vayit sibor mosifin neila bechova. Beim bemishim bal toser vaklan shas. What does the arayved say? You're telling me if I do an extra chov, it's baltosa by definition? What about the fact that the tzibor adds ne'ila? Why isn't that? Now, I admit, Yehuda asked me during Chavruta, you could answer this in a lot of ways. But Emek Bracha's answer is so good, let's ignore the other ways you could answer it. But ne'ila daiti adabra pasha. Didavka tfila shibamakum karban ikaba mishim baltosa. Which is very meduic in the riff. What did the riff say? It's like you're being makriv of an extra tamid. So by definition, it can't be shaykh to bal toser. So now I realize in the grave. I'm so happy when I found this yesterday. Here's what I realized, guys. What could you say? Shachris, Mincha, and Marv all have two themes. We've seen this throughout our sugya. What are the two themes that Shachris, Mincha, and Marv have? And the one, they have the carbon theme. Even Marv has the carbon theme on some level, right? The Ivar Mubadarim. And they've got the Avos theme. Now, for the sake of argument, guys, bear with me. I'm going to associate the Avos theme with Rachme. I think it's pretty reasonable. Rachme has to do with Avos, right? A more fluid, beseeching God for mercy. You've got the Karma theme and the Avos Rachme theme. That Shachris Mincha Marv. But now it turns out something great, guys. There's one tefillah that only has the Karma theme, and there's one tefillah in this world that only has the Rachme theme. Which tefillah only has the Karma theme? Very good. That's what Tosfos says, right? Maybe that's why Musaf has no Tashlumin. Musaf's not about Bakashas Rachme. Musaf does not about Avos. Musaf is purely a substitute for the missing Karma. So Musaf only has one theme. It never occurred to me that there's the opposite example. Says the Emek Bracha, I'll tell you something. There's also a tefillah that only has the Rachmim theme. That is Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not patterned after any avoda, after any service in the Beit HaMikdash. Ne'ilah is purely man beseeching God for mercy at the end of Yom Kippur. That, could, by definition, could not be a problem of Bal Tosef. So this fits in very nicely. There's one tefillah with just one theme, and one tefillah with only the other theme. What do you think, Nate? So
the question I have on that is that we said, if you're in a case where you have Medaben Musaf, so it's Mincha and Musaf at the same time. Why do we have a Havamina that you could do?
You're saying because the carbon theme should make it more.
Make it daf. If Mincha is the last thing that goes on the Mizbeach.
Ah.
How could we?
That's interesting. Why don't we apply the carbon theme to that extent? That's a good question. I think we're only applying the carbon theme as far as this monomer are concerned, but somehow we're not applying the carbon theme as far as the water. That's a very good question, Nick. I would bet on that Gemara, which we'll see next, actually, about what Musaf or Mincha comes first. I bet one of the Achorim asked that question. It's very interesting, because the Gemara doesn't bring up that factor. Like, it brings up the Tadir v'Sheino Tadir.
Right.
It brings which one is passing first, which one is Overt. But why doesn't it bring up... Let me just see one thing. What does it bring up? Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. All right, guys, we'll stop here. So again, we're going to go ahead and brachos fourth parak, but... We'll finish this up on Thursday, but I think there's two good chiddushim about Neil here, the Chachma Shlomo's Kiddush and the Emek Bracha's Kiddush.